evening, friends. I'm so honored that you have joined us tonight. And I'm so privileged to have my dear friend, Pastor Walter Nestorenko, Impact Church, Ocean View, Seaville. What's the other name for this town?
Upper Township.
Okay. The reason I say that is because I was trying to figure out this week, because I was also trying to figure out how many years it's been that I've been coming, been privileged to know you. We can't figure that out. I think
2017.
Okay, 2017. So 6 straight years.
Yes.
I've been coming with you. And he is in Ocean View, New Jersey. He's a senior leader. Him and his wife lead Impact Church. And we call these conversations, friends. By the way, if you're watching this live, please like and share the broadcast. If you're watching this on podcast, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, all those different ways, please leave a nice review for us and then tell other people about it. And then there's also hundreds of other hours of teaching. God has given me the privilege of traveling around the world and connecting with the most beautiful leaders. And here's my friend, Pastor Walter Nestorenko. And just before we started today, I just felt to ask you about your life. I'm always so interested in the journey that God has people on. And even just in a small way, just start at your childhood. Did you grow up in a Christian home? Did you grow up around the things of God?
Yeah, so, well, welcome everybody. It's great to be with you on the broadcast. Thank you so much, Abner, for having me on. I feel honored. A couple quick thoughts on my background. I grew up in a Slavic/South American home.
Mom was Slavic, your dad was South American.
No, so my last name is Slavic.
Okay.
Nestorenko. It's from Ukraine.
Okay.
My parents were both born in Brazil, in South America, the second generation. So my first generation was born in the Slavic countries. Second generation moved to South America, born in Brazil. Then they both met here at a church.
Wow.
A Pentecostal church up in North Jersey. And they met while they grew up, there was teenage years. So I was born into that tradition. I grew up in the church, a lot of culture involved, ethnic church.
Right.
But loved good food, so I love a good kielbasa, I love pierogies. I'm married to a Polish woman, so we have a lot of ethnicity, a lot of food around our table. And I like nice little churrasco or carne asada for the Spanish. So we like good food. And growing up, I grew up in a Pentecostal Assemblies of God church, like I said. And throughout my years there, learned about church, learned about God, but never really had my first encounter until I was 13 years old at a youth camp. And so when I was at youth camp, all these Slavic churches came together for 1 week. And we invited a guest speaker, and we would have ministry time, altar times. I got baptized in the Holy Spirit at 13. And that kind of opened up the reality that this is more than just a church.
Okay. So as much as you can remember as a young man, you kind of like, okay, as part of our family, we go to church. But this is not, I'm not really connecting this as a personal encounter thing.
Yeah, not really understanding the personal nature of it. Unfortunately, again, these were good, well-meaning people. A lot of legalism with your traditions, with the ethnic. A lot of hypocrisy because they were doing the church thing on Sunday and then like living like the world on during the week. Never really got to see the full discipleship mode of what does it truly mean to look. No, within the church, there were definitely sincere Christians. I'm just saying, overall, that was kind of it was a big family affair, you know.
Right.
Because that's kind of how you gather the melting pot of the nationality.
Okay.
As they immigrated to the States, they all kind of gathered, tried to work around each other, and then ultimately gathered and doing going to church. So it was kind of like that.
So you had this encounter with the Lord. Does it plant a seed? But then where does your personal relationship go with the Lord at 13 years old?
Yeah, it's a good question. So just like anything, encounter the Lord, this was amazing. You felt good for 2 weeks, come back home, and then it's like, boom. Because there wasn't a system of discipleship or no one really ever walked with me, understand this is the more than just an experience, this is a lifestyle. So I kind of perpetually did that for the next several years of my teenage years of like having this fiery experience and then it kind of dwindling, going through the, you know, normal life until the next camp year type of thing, so to speak. And I would go to youth group and stuff like that, but never really taking that next step of understanding what discipleship was all about.
Right.
And
then in a sense, also, just kind of the phrase I heard, maybe like this disconnect, not intentionally from anyone, but this disconnect from, I know that God is real, this experience, to what does this look like as a young man going to college, you know, not college, but high school, growing up, how does this touch every area of my life? You kind of didn't see that connection.
No, I didn't. Yeah. So I didn't really see how to integrate your experience with God on Sundays to like, well, I got to learn how to hear the voice of God. I got to learn how to take this and now go to my school system and stuff like that. So that stuff did not happen, quite honestly. And because of that, it was just this up and down emotional relationship with Jesus, so to speak. But then when I was 17, so I played soccer. So soccer guy.
It's so interesting. You and I have very similar.
Yes.
When I was time to seven, wrestled till I graduated high school, college. And so when did you start playing soccer?
I played soccer when I was about 5, 6, 7 years
old. Wow.
And then played pretty high level. I went to high school, played soccer at a good school.
St. Benedict's.
St. Benedict's.
In North New Jersey.
That's right.
Yeah.
So I was there and basically was there. And then that kind of wasn't. Kind of simultaneously and then trying to figure out what the next steps was. And so I had an encounter when I was 17. When I was 17, I was sitting in the back of a church on a Sunday night. So we used to have two services back in the day. And I was in a season of great confusion, trying to figure out my next steps, what to do. And the pastor was preaching or somebody was preaching. And, you know, again, I knew the Lord. But in the midst of sitting there, the conviction of the Holy Spirit fell on me in the back pew as a kid with my cousins. And I felt the Lord say to me, you need to go to Bible school. And that was the last thing I wanted to hear in my current state of thinking.
Right, right.
The conviction was so strong that I got up from the pew, went downstairs to the men's bathroom. I put cold water in my face to kind of shake this off. I look in the mirror and I told myself, no, I'm not doing this. I'm not following that voice, that conviction.
Wow. Would you say now, because I know like the rest of the story, mm-hmm. friends, I know, Walter and his wife are God first place committed, not just people who've been in ministry most of their adult life, but people fully committed to walking out the kingdom of God, the power of God. Was that the first seed planted in a sense of a ministry calling, you think, or had you heard?
Yeah, no. Yeah. I think that was, I think the first seed planted was probably when I was like maybe 12, 13, maybe 14 years old or even younger, when the pastor would say on a Sunday morning during his preaching, I remember this, some of you out there are going to be preachers one day. And I remember when he said that, something inside of me was like, wow, like there was a witness. And then immediately after that witness, there was this great fear, like, oh my goodness, that would scare the living socks out of
wow.
me. But I had that sense when he said that there was something that bore witness. That 17 was the first actual, like, yeah, you were being summoned by the conviction.
Feel the Lord when you're saying that. Wow.
And so I rebelled, man. It was just too much. It was too much to surrender at that point. I think because of the background that I grew up in, a lot of rules. Not much relationship, particularly when it comes to spiritual. Uh-huh. So it just naturally wanted to rebel. You naturally wanted to like experience life. You felt kind of isolated.
You felt like as a young man, this is a constraint. If I say yes, this is going to really constrain my life.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And so I rebelled. So I kind of did a prodigal. I went and I pursued a soccer scholarship, West Virginia University. It looked good on the outside.
What position?
I played attacking midfield.
Okay.
Attacking midfield.
That's no joke on the college level.
No, it's pretty good.
Were you all conference A-10 back in the day?
No, all conference.
Okay.
But I did my part.
Okay.
My father was an All-American, by the way, at West Virginia, 2 years.
Oh, okay. Wow.
And he was the leading scorer for a long time. So the records, I don't think, still haven't been broken. So there's a lot of similarities there. So what happens is I'm at college. I'm there for a year and a half, and I'm tanking it, meaning I'm playing soccer and I'm partying.
Okay.
But academically, it was just.
You're not getting the work done.
Just living the dream.
Yeah.
Till you realize.
But as far as your seat, you had pretty decent seasons.
Yeah. Athletically, I was, you're part of this little bubble. You know, you're an athlete and you're in a bubble there, so you're having your own friends and family and whatever, friends and connections. But internally, it was dry, and it was definitely, you know, you're far from the Lord. So,
any go to a service here and there?
Yeah, I would go to church once in a while.
Would you?
To appease the conscience?
Yeah.
To know that it's the right thing to do?
Would you go to an Assembly of God
church? No, I would go to Christian CMA church or something like that.
Yeah.
Or Campus Crusade for Christ.
Okay, so you'd show up, yeah.
You know, just to kind of appease my mom and realize the right thing to do. Once in a while, I pick up the Bible and read it, you know.
Right. Yeah, I did go to that Bible study, Mom. I'm good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then I started, you know, recreationally doing drugs, alcohol, you know, just living the college lifestyle as people would do it. And then got into some serious, you know, partying, just really just heavy recreational use. My biggest fear was that I was going to get addicted. So that was just like, well, I want to dabble in it. I want to have fun in it, but I'm afraid of getting hooked. And obviously, 26 years ago, the drugs, you know, they're not as addictive. Maybe some of them are not as addictive as they are now with fentanyl and all these other things, you know, the Oxycontin. We didn't have that back then. It was just marijuana, cocaine, maybe dropping a couple acid and stuff. So with that said, I remember one day, you know, my mother's praying at home. You know, they all see the rebellion. I was coming off a five-day fiending of cocaine. I mean, this is how stupid you are when you're living for the devil. You know, you would be getting cocaine shipped from you from Miami, mailed in snail mail through the U.S. Postal to your house in West Virginia.
Wow.
And the mail will come in and you'd be getting, you know, you were getting the powder.
I just have a question. This is a side question. Where did you get the money to buy cocaine while you're as a college student?
Well, I mean, your parents were giving you money.
Okay.
You know, you're
on. So you saved it.
You saved
it appropriately.
You're making men's eat. You know, you're making, you know, ends meet, and you're finding ways.
Yeah.
So then after that experience of like 5 days straight of just kind of, I got scared, and then middle of the night I was just you know, they call you, you know, you're coming down from the high and middle of the night, and so I just cry out to God and say, God, this is not it. This is not what I thought it was going to be. So it's kind of like that experience of the reality of this. You're hitting rock bottom. So then I just made a commitment, Abner, every day. I didn't tell anybody about this because I would have so many of these experiences going back to the altar, coming back.
Right, right.
I just started reading the Bible every day. I said, I'm going to make a commitment just to read the Bible every day, read a commentary, read the Bible, because I had a hard time understanding the Bible. I would just practice reading the Bible every day and praying every day, not saying anything to anybody, just to do this as a disciplined devotion, just to meet this Jesus, just to get to know him. I started doing that. Within 3 months, things started changing. I started going to church. I was connected to Campus Crusade for Christ. And again, I was living in a party house. We were renting an apartment. I was one of the guys leading the parties. Three other roommates.
Now, when you start reading the Word, are you still doing that?
I was still smoking weed.
Yeah.
I was still drinking a little bit, but I was doing that as a discipline.
Uh-huh.
But it was amazing. It works. Mm-hmm. God started moving. God brought a female into my life who was another athlete, but she was a Christian, strong Christian. She started moving my distractions away from doing that stuff to other things. And then within 6 months, it was like a shift. Mm. Then I ended up staying there. Instead of coming home for the summer, I stayed there, worked there full time, and then just was working out and just growing in my faith. And that summer, I went to a Promise Keepers event in PA in Pittsburgh, and the call of God comes back, 1995. The call of God comes back, basically saying you're called to be a minister of the gospel. Like, so now I found purpose, because really I was going to school.
How did that happen? That'd be an interesting story.
Well, I was just in the midst of 70,000 men.
Yeah.
And we're in the midst of great praise and worship, and the Holy Spirit just reminds me that he called me.
Mm.
And 17, you know, when I rebel, like, I'm called. And so when that happened, like, it just went to another level of commitment. And then I realized purpose, because I was really going to school just to have fun, no purpose. Like, I was doing that.
Right.
I didn't have a drive of where is this leading to.
Uh-huh.
So that...
95 then, are you like a junior?
Yeah, I'm a junior.
You're junior in college? You're going to head into your senior,
senior year.
Wow. I want you to pause here. We got that clock going?
Yep.
Yeah. Just so we land the plane on time here. But I want to pause here because I just saw this we see it with people in their personal experience where maybe they're around the things of God. their parents, doing the best they can. You know, like you even mentioned, I think sometimes as we reflect, I myself being around the things of God, very probably similar cult, not similar culture, but similar church culture probably. Mm-hmm. Even since I was conceived, I was around the things of God. And it wasn't that people weren't sincere. They were just doing the best of what they knew about God in that time.
Right.
But you had these seeds planted in you. You had these seeds at 13 and then 17 and then these different experiences that you know that God is real, even a baptism of the Holy Spirit, right? You spoke in tongues as a young boy. Yeah. But yet you go off to college, you're literally a drug user, even though you're a high-level Division I athlete, and you have a, you mentioned you had a mom praying. And I think that sometimes we have family members or people we know, people we love, we've seen the seeds planted, but then they're acting opposite. I just want you to pause here, pray for maybe even moms watching that, like, I know I put my kids around the things of God. I love them, or I'm trusting, even maybe that's not it, but I'm trusting for my son. I've seen them encounter God, but yet it seems they go the opposite direction. But I believe it, in God's kindness. He's still, and I believe a key of that, though, is the watchman in our life, whether it's a mom or uncle or brother, the girl you cross paths with. Even maybe you're probably supposed to be in Bible college, but God is still orchestrating and bringing you back. Quick question here. How did you end up at a Promise Keepers thing?
Well, I wasn't connected to a church. So, you know, obviously, you know, they progressed those 3 months. Then I started going to an evangelical Methodist church.
Okay.
Covenant Methodist. So then they were going on a trip. And so we're like, yeah, you know, God just starts bringing people.
Yeah, these intersections. Divine.
So and then they were like, let's go to, and that was back in the 90s. If you remember, mid-90s, those events were packed.
Yeah, the big, big events. And powerful.
Powerful.
So why don't you pray for people?
Sure. Yeah. So Father, we thank you for those watching. I thank you for the seed of the Word of God that's been implanted, Father, by moms and dads, aunts and uncles, grandmom and grandpa, for the children, Lord, that they are praying for, Lord. We thank you that, God, that seed does not return void. We thank you, Lord, that as these parents and these guardians and these lovers of you are contending for their next generation, that that seed is working. And God, I pray that even this broadcast will bring water to the seed, to those who are part of this process of believing God, just like my mother and my grandmother were praying for me.
Yes,
Lord, I thank you for that seed that's in them, that the lost sheep of Israel would come home, Lord. Even this next calendar year,
yes,
they would
Lord.
See many, many, many lost sheep of Israel come home directly affected because of this broadcast, because of the prayers of the parents and grandparents, Lord. And we believe that, Lord, you're going to do great and mighty things. So we just thank you for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy.
Yes, Lord.
In Jesus' name.
And just even as you were saying that, I just saw a picture. I believe it's like a grandmother. You're either listening or watching this broadcast, and you've been contending. I believe it is for a grandson to come back to the Lord. And the Lord says that he is called. He is chosen. You know this. He is the sense I have is like a Jeremiah. And the Lord says he's heard your prayer and he will encounter. He's heard your prayers, but also the prayer. And the Lord says, stay in that place of agreement. And you're going to see, I heard the phrase in my heart, quick turn around.
Come on.
And so I just bless you to stay the course, to not speak or declare anything contrary to your grandson coming back to the Lord. We call that Jeremiah in Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name. It's interesting you say that because that was kind of the call that brought me back in Jeremiah 1, the call in your mother's womb and stuff. So it's very interesting.
Wow. Yep. Okay, so
come on.
You had this encounter with the Lord at Promise Keepers, and then you're kind of...
So then, you know, what's the next step? So, you know, you're jumping up and down. You're like, wow, this is incredible. I found my life purpose. I found what I'm going to be and do. You know, this is so incredible with the whole thing of identity. The earlier your kids... This is where the power of the prophetic word comes in. The earlier your kids can receive the identity of Christ in them and understand their purpose, it will alleviate a lot of distractions. So I didn't, you know... So the question is, do I drop out of school?
So the fundamental thing of what you're saying there is part of discovering your assignment in life, your identity is attached to that.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. So the question is, do I drop out of school or go, because I was like, let me get trained. I got to, you know, you find, all right, lights go turned on. Mm-hmm. Let me go to seminary. So I figured, you know what? I'm almost done my last year. Let me finish my degree. I got my degree in sport management. It actually was beneficial. Thank God I did it.
Why was it beneficial?
Well, because years later, I'm building off of my bachelor's degree and I get a master's.
Okay.
And then I'm a teacher. I'm a professor because I'm using that. So if I didn't have that bachelor's degree, if I just stopped and just went some other direction, I could have. So it was just.
That's pretty impressive. Drug user. Not really interested.
Yes.
And you finish your degree in 4 years.
I do.
Yeah.
I almost failed out too. By the grace of God.
Yeah, that's a
miracle.
And they let you into graduate school. Don't tell people where you graduated. Nah, yeah. What kind of graduate school lets you in? I'm messing with you.
No, I get it. I get it. It's good.
So,
all right. So
you finish at.
So then this is another important process.
Yeah.
All right, Lord, what do I do? So I go visit the top four seminaries in the U.S. My mom works for the airline, so I flew out to Fuller, went to Gordon-Conwell, I went to Dallas.
Oh, wow.
Went to Trinity in Illinois.
Yeah, all the big schools.
All the big schools, just figure out, okay. And each time I went.
It's a very intellectual approach to your calling.
Yeah, I was just like, all right, the next step is go get training, go get academic training, go get a degree.
Right.
So I did all that. Then I applied to Dallas. I ended up wanting to go there. And you know about Dallas, Dallas is really not as open to the things of the spirit. Not really.
Not open at all. Let's just be honest. It's generous. Yeah.
So what happens? I'm praying one day. I don't feel peace about it. And the Lord says, I don't want you to go to school. I'm going to be your teacher.
Mm.
And so I go home. So I'm like, okay. So this is, you know, and again, I'm living this wild ride of like radical changes, but the voice of God. So I end up getting my degree. I go home and I get into an internship for my degree at another church locally at home. And then I start.
An internship for your sports management degree?
Yeah.
You did a sports. Now this is a whole different podcast.
It's a youth, but it's as a youth. It's like a youth. It's like youth sports. So
okay. All right. You really tweaked that, didn't you?
You made it.
It's like, what kind of school are we going to?
Yeah, it wasn't necessarily. It was accepted as ministry, but I started working as a youth leader in my church, ended up becoming the youth leader, youth director, pastor, whatever, and then start getting some credential training through the Assemblies of God and whatever. I ended up, you know, doing that, and then I get married. And so...
Wait. We have about 5 minutes and 20 seconds left, and we're going to have you back on the next broadcast. But you've told me at one time this very interesting story of you and your wife of...
26 years.
Yeah. You just celebrated. Congratulations, 26 years. Beautiful thing. But you... Okay, so you finished your degree, but in the next... If you can finish with about 1:20 left in our broadcast, I know I don't like Kimes and Shades, but we got him here. Tell the story. Is it within that year of you meeting your wife?
Yeah, so I knew her. We grew up in the same church. However, we were from different parts of the church from the ethnic standpoint, so we didn't really know each other. When I came back to the Lord in college, she was at the Bible school I was supposed to go to. Mm-hmm. This is how God works. So I connected with her.
She went to Zion, right?
So I went to meet with her when I came back to the Lord at the end of my, like, middle of my senior year during Christmas time to let her know, like, God's calling me to the ministry. You're going to ministry. Let's just have some breaking some bread. I was telling her about my other girlfriend that I was dating and stuff like that. And so we graduate.
The other athlete girl who's getting you on the right path. Yeah.
So we graduate.
Is that a different podcast? How you broke that girl's heart? That's what
I know you are. Yeah. All right, so we ended up graduating at the same time together in May of 97. And then she was working with the children. So one, July 5th, 1997, we're praying for the church for revival, another Bible student. And at that point, I'm having a conversation with Jesus. And then I'm like, Lord, what about this girl, other Anna? We were not formally dating at the time. We'd broken up, but I was like, thinking she was going to be my wife. And the Lord speaks to me clearly, just like we were talking. He says, Walter, I don't want you to marry her. I want you to marry this Anna, and she's playing the piano.
In a prayer meeting, the Lord told you.
Yeah, prayer meeting between me and just me and her, but the church, in the church. So
that, you know, sounds like a prayer meeting for a rival, two people.
Yes.
That's definitely a revival.
It is. So I
think that's prophetic for your life.
Yeah,
pioneers.
So I get up. I get up and, you know, I'm just like, there's no reason to wait. Let me just go talk to her. So I pull her aside. I said, listen, Ann, I got to tell you.
You waited till the prayer meeting was over, though, or no?
There was no prayer meeting. It was just me and her. We were praying, but it was like three of us. The one gentleman left. So it was just two of us in this big sanctuary.
This is a great story. This is a great story.
So I call her over and I said, listen, God just spoke to me. He just said to me that you're supposed to be my wife.
And oh, my gosh.
And she
now
said.
Now, you're a pastor. You wouldn't recommend that.
I would not recommend that at this
point. But it's what happened, yeah.
So at this point. So, you know.
Immature prophetic, ladies and gentlemen. He was very sincere, but maybe the.
Yes. The seasoning was not quite there at 22. Yeah. Well, so she. She wisely said. You know, because she had plenty of those experiences at Bible school, because everybody was saying the Lord says, you know, you got to find the mate, go to Bible school. So she said, that's great, that's fine, but God's got to speak to me. I said, well, wonderful. So I left it at that. 2 weeks go by, the Friday before the second Saturday go by, and I'm frustrated already because I don't hear anything. So the Lord kind of gives me a witness. I'm going to find something out on Tuesday. This time I don't say anything to her. So I'm like, all right.
Good call.
So Friday goes by, Saturday goes by, Sunday goes by, Sunday night, and the Lord starts speaking to her. She finally prayed about it after the first week. She took a whole week and didn't even pray about it. So ultimately, Tuesday we meet. We have a staff meeting with the pastor, and then I ask her afterwards, and she's like, yeah, I told my mother yesterday I'm going to get married to you. I said, well, awesome. I said, because the Lord spoke to me on Friday that I would know. She said, well, I've been praying the last 2 days that God would tell you that I knew.
We could pick this up next week, but I got to ask, are you physically attracted to her?
Yes.
Okay. All right. I just want to make sure was she physically attracted to you?
Yes.
Okay.
So, I mean, listen, we took time. I still have to get emotional healing. We have to go back and talk to the other Anna, bring closure there. We were trying to plan a wedding and all this stuff. But so 4 months, and then we get married in December.
We start a life. Wow. Yeah. We'll pick this up next week, but. This is why I call them conversations.
Sure.
But there was something that really jumped out to me about your story. And it's just really simple key, but it's so, so key. It's the voice of the Lord.
Yes.
Hey, I got this idea. And I think that it's not wrong sometimes, the ideas that we have. Like, hey, that seems practical. But many times I learn practical and what God's asking us to do or what makes sense is not there. Bunch of different times, the voice of the Lord at 13, voice of the Lord. But what is really, really struck me is it seems like when the switch happened in your heart to go, God, whatever you have for my life, it was like you began to hear the voice of the Lord.
Amen.
Thanks so much for joining us. We'll be back next week with part 2 of Pastor Walter Nisterenko.
Thank you.